Well, I want to share with you a story, something that I experienced in college. This goes way back, way, way back. I went to college at East Carolina University, and my senior year, we lived in a home that was an outreach and teaching home center. So we would be witnessing the people and bringing them over, and they would take Bible classes, and it was an exciting time. And so as the year progressed, there was a period of time in the middle of the year that I kind of got down on myself. I felt like I was a failure because I wasn't bringing any new people to fellowship. And we were used to bringing lots of different folks to the fellowships that we held there at the home. So what I do when I feel down and out, at least in college, I would go play basketball. I'd have to do some physical activity. And so I went to the gym. I went to the major field house to play some ball, you know, get some, just kind of take my mind off my concerns and failures and get some exercise and such. But it was closed. So I went down to the old gym, and thankfully that was open, and there's some folks in there playing basketball. And so I was able to pick up a game, and there was one girl there. And so we picked sides, and I picked her on my side, and we played, and thankfully she was pretty good. So we won our games. So I felt pretty good. And then I shared with her, you know, where I live and my life as a Christian, and she was interested. And so she came over to the house and ended up taking Bible classes. So God's timing was really good for me. I share that story with you tonight because I want to share on the subject of dealing with failure. That's the title of my teaching, Dealing with Failure. Now, normally I'd rather teach on being more than a conqueror and having victory in Christ and all the good things that are positive and exciting. But it's on my heart to share some things with you about dealing with failure. And talking about basketball, one of the most important skills in that game is rebounding. Right, Tom? Tom knows. In a typical game, two out of every three shots are missed. You know, the average percentage, 33-40% of the baskets are made. So the ball's hitting the rim or backboard and bounding out. So if you are skillful at rebounding, you're able to get the ball back and perhaps score again. So it's all about dealing with missed shots. You know, your failure may be missing some shots, but you don't let it bother you. You go in there, you get the rebound, and hopefully put it right back up. And when you look at life and how we live life and experiences that we have, we all miss shots, right? We all make mistakes. We all have failures that we deal with. And when you look at the Bible and look at all the different people that are in the Bible, you see their failures too, don't you? It's pretty amazing. About every person I think about in the Bible has had some kind of failure in their life, with one exception. Who's that?
Jesus Christ.
Yes, Jesus Christ. But, you know, what about Moses?
He had some problems.
Abraham, he wanted to have some kids his own way rather than what God said. What about wonderful David? David was a wonderful man of God, but he made some mistakes, didn't he? Even Peter. We know Peter, he heard some cocks crowing, didn't he?
Yeah.
That reminded him about denying the Lord. And even Paul, the great man of God, Paul, made some mistakes. He wasn't supposed to go to Jerusalem, was he? No, God told him in many different ways, don't go, but he did go. But you know what? These guys, they continued to rise up to be their best for God Almighty. And I think about Paul. He was at one time the number one enemy of the church, right? He was helping others kill saints and believers and taking them, putting them in jail. And then, of course, he gets born again. He gets saved, and his whole life changes where he is moving God's word. So what I'd like to do is share four things that I believe is biblical on how to overcome failure, dealing with failure, okay? Now, the first one, we're going to look at Paul, because I think he has a good source here of what to do when things go wrong. So we're going to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and see what Paul has to say in dealing with his background and having believers committed to prison and how he dealt with that. I mean, something like that could really rub in his life his whole lifetime. So how did he deal with that? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet or adequate to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Verse 10, but, setting in contrast, "by the grace of God, I am what I am." So what made the difference for Paul that he could deal with his failure and what he did to some of the believers back when and now as a standing believer? The grace of God. He recognized God's grace. It wasn't about what he did and his work and his effort. It was about God's grace. And when we fall short sometimes, we need to think about God's grace in our life, because it's not about works so much as it is about recognizing God's wonderful love and grace in our lives. The verse goes on, "And his grace was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." You know, there's some other wonderful verses that talk about God's grace. That's very important for us to recognize this in our life. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, we'll look at a few of those verses. Verse 2, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." A lot of the church epistles open up with what? Grace. You know, that we've got to understand we are living under God's divine favor. And it's not about what you did to earn that, because, again, it's by grace, by grace. Verse 6 in that chapter 1 says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved." He has made us accepted. We didn't make ourselves accepted, but he did. And that's why we're to the praise of the glory of his grace that made it come to pass. Verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of" what? Of his grace. So number one point is when you're, you know, getting down or the devil is reminding you of negative things that have happened in your life, think about the grace of God, God's grace in your life. And we can get up and out of whatever failures we may be dealing with. Well, the second point I want to share with you in dealing or overcoming failure is forgiveness. Forgiveness. We're going to go to 1 John if you want to turn there. You know, we have a Lord and Savior who bought forgiveness for us. It's what he did for us whereby we can be forgiven and forgive others. So in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 8, if we say then we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Man, we're going to fall short. I tell you, that's going to happen. Two things are going to happen in the future. Christ is coming back, and I hope real soon. But we're just going to fall short. We're not going to be perfect. But we endeavor to be our best. And because we're not going to be perfect, we got God's forgiveness. You know, he's not going to hold anything to us. He's going to forgive us and let us move on. And I think about some of the great people in the Bible that made mistakes and got forgiveness, and they moved on, and they were tremendous men and women of God. In 1 John chapter 2, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Who is that? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation or the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. Pretty amazing. The Lord Jesus Christ paid the price. He did it all so that we could have the forgiveness of sins. It's pretty neat, huh? Mm-hmm. You know, I think about the story of what most people call the prodigal son. I call it the forgiving father, where the son takes his inheritance and he goes out and he wastes it, right? He ends up being a pig farmer or feeding the pigs and stuff, and most lowly job. And he realizes he's better off coming back to his father's place and just being a servant. Just being there would be a much better situation. So he does that, doesn't he? He comes back. And where's his father? Has his father forgotten him and not looking for him? No. His father sees him come from afar and embraces him and celebrates him coming back to the family. That's our loving Heavenly Father. That's our forgiving Father. So, you know, if we find ourselves making mistakes or failing at whatever, we can be forgiven and we can move on. We can not have to remember those things, but go forward. There's a great verse, well, a couple of verses in Lamentations 3:21 through 23. I'm going to read them to you. Lamentations 3:21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So God's very compassionate toward us. It's new every day. It's a new day with the Father, right? No matter what happened in the past, we can move on and know that God doesn't hold anything against us, so we don't have to take it forward in our own lives. Well, a third point I'd like to make in light of dealing with failures is what really gets at the believers, and I think this really holds a lot of people back, a lot of believers back, and it's because they focus on their problems and they get so overcome with guilt and shame that they come to the point of condemnation, right? Mm-hmm. They're condemning themselves. Oh, my, why would I do this? How could I have done this? And boy, oh boy, I'm just so bad. And why would God love me because of this, what I did? And we beat ourselves up with condemnation. The devil really uses that card against us, this self-condemnation. But what's a good verse we could go to that deals with this? Romans 8:1. Yes. So in Romans 8:1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You know, there's no condemnation. That Christ in you, there's nothing that is a failure with that Christ in you. So whatever's happened, whatever has caused you to feel so bad or guiltless or guilty, you can be guiltless knowing that there's no condemnation in Christ. You get forgiven and you move on. God doesn't remember it, right? Doesn't it talk about that he remembers our sins?
No more,
as far as the east is from the west. So, yeah. So that's another one we can remember, huh? I want to share with you also in Romans 8, verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But we've got the Spirit of Christ in us, so we belong to him. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. We have God's righteousness in us. And so we bank on that. We believe in that. And we need to stand on that and not let the devil put us down. And if we make mistakes, where he keeps us down, we confess what the word says, and then we get the deliverance that we need. There's some great verses here in Romans chapter 5 I want to share with you along these lines. Romans 5, verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgressions, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God. Now there's the grace coming up. The grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift by the for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. We reign in life with Christ in us. Well, the final point I'd like to make, and of course, this final one, I believe, is important for us to have in our lives, and that's having vision for our lives. Have a vision for your life. What has God called you to do and be? And then set that vision and aspire to that. I think sometimes Christians don't know where they're going or what they want to do or what God's called them to do, and they're just kind of floating along. And if they would just get with the Father, be inspired by him, God will give you that vision that you need to move forward so that you can have purpose in your life. You know, God has called us to be his masterpiece in Ephesians 2:10. He has bought us with a price, and we don't belong to ourselves, it says in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. We are very special to God, and he has a purpose for each and every one of us. What is that purpose? What is your purpose in the family of God? And if we know what that is, then we work and aspire to that vision that we have. If we don't have vision, then we're not looking ahead. We're just kind of looking down and hanging out. But if we have that goal, that vision, then we're moving forward. And we're not so looking back at the problems or failures that we might have experienced. You know, it says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. People perish, right? So we need to move forward. Philippians 2:15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in this world, holding forth the word of life. Wow, what a great vision to have, holding forth the words of life. How does that, what does that mean for me? What can I do to hold forth the words of life? Maybe I'm not one to go out, you know, witnessing out on the streets. That's okay. But there's things that I can do to witness and to share and to meet people and to witness to folks. So we want to hold forth the words of life. As the verse continues, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You know, a lot of people are setting goals and have vision for their lives, making money or getting some great power. But, you know, the greatest goals that we can set is walking with our Heavenly Father, holding forth the words of life, that when Christ comes face to face with us, we know that we can rejoice in that day because we have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Okay, so quick review here. What do we do when we want to deal with failure? Number one, what do?
Look at grace.
We look at grace. We look at the grace of God and we value it. And then we recognize that we have overcome our mistakes because we've been forgiven. We have forgiveness. And this is God's nature, to forgive and forget. And then we don't hold anything against people. Well, there's no self-condemnation, right, that holds people back from really being their best for their Heavenly Father. So we don't allow the devil to condemn us or anybody else. We take care of business and we move forward. And we move forward because we have vision for our life. We have a vision of who we are and what God's called us to be. So we are also precious to the Heavenly Father. He has made us special. He's made us masterpieces. He has called each and every one of us with a purpose in mind to participate fully in your calling and to do what God has called all of us to do. What a joy and privilege it is. So I trust this will help you and bless your lives. And it's wonderful that you can be a part here of the fellowships. We can handle some of these things and move forward with the great things of God.